Hallelujah, Christ is risen. You may be seated. It's a rather curious ending to our gospel lesson appointed for this Easter Day chief service, whereas the gospel for the sunrise service concludes with Mary Magdalene being called by name and seeing her risen Lord Jesus, and then announcing to the disciples all that he had said to her. The gospel lesson from Mark for this chief service ends with, "And they, the women, went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. They said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." It's curious indeed. It appears that the women leave the tomb just as frightened and confused as they had been when they arrived. Maybe more so. But our initial impressions don't always reflect the truth. Well, it might appear that these women left the tomb in a worse state than when they arrived. In fact, a change had taken place in them, a change for the better. They were strengthened by the word of God that they heard there, proclaimed to them by the angel. So it is with you. By all outward appearances, you may seem to be in no better a state after hearing God's word than beforehand. But in fact, the word of God is living and active. It is powerful to work in your heart. By it, the Holy Spirit creates in you a new heart. He makes of you a new creation through what you hear in this place, not only on this Easter day, but every Sunday. Our text this morning begins with the women bringing fragrances to Jesus' tomb in order to anoint his dead body. They couldn't do so any earlier because of the law of Moses, which forbade any kind of work on the Sabbath. So they arose as soon as it was possible, while it was still dark, according to Matthew, and they arrived at the tomb just as the sun was rising. Now one can only imagine what was going through the minds of these women as they made their way to the tomb after two long nights of grief and sadness. In fact, it seems that they were so overtaken by grief that they forgot that there was one really big obstacle in their way. Literally. "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" they asked. But the women had forgotten something even greater than that large stone that had been rolled against the entrance of the tomb. They forgot the word of God. They forgot the promise that the Christ would not remain in death. They had the prophecies of the Messiah's resurrection found in the Old Testament. Psalm 16, verse 10, for example, states, "You will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption." And Isaiah 53, which we heard on Good Friday, which, after speaking of his suffering and death to atone for sin, says that the Messiah, quote, "shall see his offspring, he shall prolong his days." Furthermore, they had the sure and certain promise of Christ the Lord himself, of which the angels remind them in Luke's gospel. "Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." For all their good intentions of honoring Jesus' body, they should have more received the word of God and believed it, that his body would not see corruption, but it would rise on that very day, the third day. Yes, it seems that the women had forgotten the word of God early that first Easter morning, but Luke tells us that they did, in fact, remember Jesus' words when they heard that word again, spoken by the angel. "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." What blessed good news indeed. Christ was crucified, but now he is risen. The women knew full well that their Lord had died. They watched his crucifixion from a distance. They saw it all. They saw the thorns and the nails and the spear. They heard the loud cry and the last breath. They watched Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus take his corpse down, wrap it in linen shroud, and lay it in a tomb. The women knew full well that Christ had died. But just as he had promised, Christ had conquered death. He had overcome the grave. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And he, through the proclamation of his angel, reminded the women of this gospel and sent them to tell the disciples, and especially Peter, the same good news of his resurrection. And that's where our final verse comes in. Mark concludes, "And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." Again, at first glance, it seems as though they left the tomb in the same state that they arrived at the tomb. But in reality, it changed. The gospel had changed them. These women went out and fled from the tomb, not in shock and terror at the sight of an angel, but rather they ran in great joy and obedience to their Lord's command. Of course they would run with haste after hearing that Easter proclamation. How could they not? Their Lord lived. And so they hurried as fast as they could to tell Jesus' disciples what they had seen and heard, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And again, it might seem at first that this trembling and astonishment was born of doubt and uncertainty like before, but no, rather it came from faith. They trembled in faith. They were astonished at the mighty works of the Lord. We learn this from elsewhere in Scripture. St. Paul writes of the same sort of trembling in his epistles when he exhorts servants, for example, to obey their earthly masters with trembling as they would Christ. And when he commends the Corinthians for receiving Titus with fear and trembling. The trembling of which Paul writes and the trembling with which the women went forward was that comes from faith. They trembled in faith, overcome with the marvelous news of Jesus' resurrection. And so also the astonishment is the same kind of response that many had when they saw the miracles of Jesus during his earthly ministry. The women were astonished at this greatest miracle of all, that Jesus Christ is risen by his own power and authority. Trembling and astonishment seized the women not because they doubted or disbelieved, but rather because they believed. Because they believed that God had done his greatest work, raising his son from the dead. And because they feared God rather than men, they didn't dare say anything to anyone, lest they be deterred from their God-given task of telling the disciples and Peter first that he was going before them to Galilee. Yes, it was true. The women fled from the tomb. They trembled and were astonished. They were afraid. But things had been different. Things changed dramatically since Friday, when the disciples fled from Jesus' cross in terror, locked themselves away for fear of the Jews. For through the word of God, proclaimed by the angel, heard by the women, true faith had been worked and strengthened by the Holy Spirit in those women's hearts. Though by all outward appearances it might seem that they were just as troubled and distraught as before, the word brought to remembrance all the promises that God had made to them, both before and throughout the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were inspired to joyful amazement at Christ's miraculous resurrection from the grave. They were moved to go forth and tell the disciples the consolation of Jesus' Easter victory. And so while it might seem curious at first that this gospel lesson is appointed for Easter day, there's great wisdom in hearing the gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter. For in the work done by God's word in the women, we are reminded of the work that God does in our hearts as well. Like those women long ago, you have heard the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've been baptized. You've been absolved. You've communed at the Lord's table. You've heard the blessed promise that Jesus Christ died for you, for the forgiveness of your sins, that for his sake you shall not die eternally, but live in his blessed presence forevermore. And yet as we go from this place, back to daily life, the troubles of life surround us, the uncertainties and doubts and fears of this life begin to overtake us. Death, illness, uncertainty, wars and rumors of wars, trouble at work, school, in our homes. So quickly we forget what we heard and received from God because of what we hear and receive in the world. Like those women, we seem to forget what Jesus said. We seem to forget those very promises by which he promises grace and peace and joy. Repent. Repent of those times you've sinned against God by forgetting his word and disobeying his command. Repent of those times that you've neglected his promise by not attending to preaching in his word. Repent. Hear today the good news proclaimed to the women by that Easter messenger once again. Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Remember with the women that Jesus Christ, the crucified one, now lives. Full redemption and atonement has been made by him in your place. His blood is the full payment for all your sins. See with the women the place where they laid him. The prophecy of Job is fulfilled. Your Redeemer lives. Christ is really and truly alive, bodily alive, risen in his flesh and blood from the grave. Go with the women from the tomb. Tell those people whom God has placed in your life, who live in a world overshadowed by sin and death, the good news that you have heard, that Jesus Christ was delivered up to death for your trespasses and raised again for your justification. The promise is for you also, that you will see him just as he told you. So by his death and resurrection, Job's confession becomes your own. I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. Then go from this place like the women in the tomb. Go in faith. Go in trembling, living in obedience to God's commands, delighting in his holy will as those who have been brought from death to new life. Go in astonishment as you marvel at the mighty works that God has done throughout history and even for you personally, how he has saved you from everlasting condemnation and granted you the inheritance of the heavenly kingdom itself. Go in the fear of the Lord, confessing your faith before others, that they too might share in the hope that is yours in Christ Jesus. True, by all outward appearances, your life may seem to go on just as it did before hearing the gospel. After all, being a Christian doesn't mean that all your earthly problems are going to disappear. There's still death, still illness, still uncertainty, still wars and rumors of wars. There's still troubles at work and at school and at home. Even as a Christian, you still deal with all those things that come from life living in a broken world. But make no mistake, God has indeed made all things new. You are indeed changed. By the word of God spoken here, true faith has been worked and strengthened in your heart by the Holy Spirit himself. Again, the word is this: Jesus was crucified for you. He is the perfect payment for your sins. For all the times you've broken the commandments to go your own way, Jesus was pierced by nails, thorn, and spear. For all the times that you failed to love one another and pray for your enemies, Jesus was crucified between two robbers and forgave those who knew not what they were doing. For all the times that you've ignored God's word and avoided his worship, Jesus was mocked by the crowds and forsaken by his Father. Jesus shed his blood for you, that you might not die eternally but have everlasting life. Proof that his sacrifice was accepted by his Father as the payment for your sins is this: Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Yes, by all outward appearances, life will be no different after today's divine service than it was prior to hearing the gospel. But we walk by faith and not by sight. Like those women that first Easter morning, you've heard the good news of Jesus' resurrection. And through this good news, the Holy Spirit has worked faith in you to live in obedience, in joy, and in thanksgiving, to confess Christ's saving name all throughout your earthly days. Finally, when those days draw to an end, it is this gospel that will bring you safely to your heavenly home, through death to life, and finally to the resurrection of your body and the life everlasting, when you will know by faith what you have known by sight what you have known thus far by faith, when you will rise just as Christ is risen, and death will be no more. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.